Okay, number 17. Number 17. All right, we're going to get some scriptures. IL is going to read number 17, verse 2 and verse 5. Colby, number 17, 5. Antonio, Matthew 9, 29. Micah, John 15, 16. John 15, 16. Daniel, number 17, 10. And Will, number 17, 8. The text that we're going to read is God is giving the sign that you can be used. It was a dispute by rebels, and God says, I'll show you who should be used by God. And the sign that he uses here is fruitfulness. I want to minister for a few minutes about the sign. Number 17, we're just going to read just two verses out of the whole story, verse 2 and verse 5.
Tell the people of Israel to bring you 12 wooden staff, one from each leader of Israel's ancestral tribes, and inscribe in each leader's name on a staff. Buds will sprout out on the staff belonging to the man I chose. Then I will finally put an end to the people's murmuring and complaining against you.
Okay, the sign. Let's talk about the sign. In this text, this of course is rebellion, but we can say that these men are wanting to be chosen. They want to be chosen for usefulness and simply because they wanted to, they thought that was enough, or because they thought they were ready, they thought that was enough. And that is a very good picture of discipleship. You have men that they want to be used, and in their minds, maybe they think they're ready, and then they wind up wondering, how come I'm not being chosen? So God tells Moses here, look for the sign of who is ready. Each of you take a branch of a tree, cut it off, just make it into a stick, a rod. You're going to put it before the presence of God. And God says, when you come back in the morning, look for fruit. That is what you want to look for. Number 17, verse 5.
Buds will sprout on the staff belonging to the man I chose. Then I will finally put an end to the people's murmuring and complaining against you.
Okay, another translation says, it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. So God says, I want you to look for fruit. That is an evidence. So this is important when we apply this to ministry, and especially to pastoring. So obviously, we speak about skills. We talk about people skills and preaching, speaking. There are many different skills. Everything you can do is useless without people. I have had empty buildings before. It didn't matter how well I could speak. Those empty chairs did not respond. So God says, and it's interesting here, you are going to cut a rod, but it's just a stick. If it's got no fruit, it's just a stick. It's not doing you any good. And so that is true. We send men out to pioneer all of the skill, all of the speaking skills, all the business and financial acumen, all of the preaching ability, and everything that you have. Without people, it's just a stick. It's not doing you any good in the ministry. If you wind up taking a church, any man here, if you are offered a church, it's probably not going to be Tucson, right? Is the church you are offered is probably going to be small. And when you take over a church, you're going to discover, like every church, there'll be a few good people. There will be people that they're just kind of there. They're not really helping you. So your skill is not going to be enough. So God says the indispensable factor of ministry is actually the ability to bear fruit. Number 17:5, let's read it again. Probably I'll just read it in this translation. It shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Notice in this, God is not saying that nothing else matters, but he's ignoring how nice are they. He's actually ignoring how good is their marriage. He's ignoring their speaking skills. He says, look for fruit. That is the sign. And so it is a sign. It is evidence. It is noticeable. That is something that is evidence, actually. If you're fruitful in the highest likelihood, it is evidence that you have a supernatural dimension at work in you. Think about two supernatural dimensions of fruitfulness, of why this is true. Actually, three supernatural dimensions. Number one, fruit involves faith. Matthew 9:29.
Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you.
Okay, according to your faith. In life, you're going to have what you believe at the end of the day. Circumstances will be hard. The devil will fight. You will have struggles. Faith, according to your faith, according to his, in line with or in measure of. So fruitfulness is an area where you can test. I don't have a faithometer. I can't, there's no app. I can't wave and go, yeah, oh yeah, the faith is strong in you. I can't do that. Fruitfulness, fruit is a way that you can develop faith, but you can test your own faith because you might have a struggle. You might have people who don't respond. You might have people who say, yes, I'll be there, and they don't come. You might pray with people and never see them again. There's all different levels. You might have someone saved, and then the next day someone rips them off to another church or a cult. At the end of the day, everything in life, you have to find out what God says. I don't care what problem you're facing, what does God say about that? I have men, they tell me, well, there's more witchcraft per square inch in my city. Don't care. You know, for many years, this man, we had problems. And it was, the church went, don't care. The only factor that matters ultimately is what does God say? This is a way you have to dig into God's word and decide what you believe. You got to believe for what God says. John 15:16. Okay, fruitfulness is not my plan. It's not your plan. It's God's. He planned, chose, ordained, or this translation might say, appointed you. God is saying, my will for you is that you bear fruit and that your fruit remain. 97 people I prayed with on outreach, but you never see them again. That is not what the scripture says. People should get saved. They should stay saved. If you're not experiencing that, you have to come back to God's word. So fruit is a practical way to develop faith. Number two, fruit involves labor. Many of the Bible pictures in the New Testament especially are agricultural. Actually, the Old Testament as well. Agricultural. Fruitfulness. It's farming. It involves plowing, sowing, weeding, on and on. It is hard work. So a man who says, I'm not being fruitful, honestly, you got to ask yourself, two basic questions. Number one, are you laboring? There are guys that, I want to be used. You never come on outreach. How do you think, if you pioneer, how do you think people get there? By magic? By advertising? Social media? No, by labor. So are you laboring? And then secondly, if you have something that you want that is good, just putting forth the same effort that you've been putting out, maybe that doesn't make sense. If you want more, is there anything in you that when no one else is doing it, when no one else is looking, have you ever gone, purely by yourself. I am just going to go witness. I want to be fruitful. Fruit involves labor. And thirdly, fruit involves dominion. This is why I insist. I want men who are going to go out. They need a supernatural dimension. I don't care if it's healing, word of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit, don't care, miracle money. They must have a supernatural dimension, because fruit is the ultimate area where you need a supernatural dimension. Why? Because the devil fights. Because it's hard work. Because it's hard. There are difficulties that stand in the way. And whatever it might be, you have to have. At the end of the day, if you're not being fruitful, that means in some way the devil is ruling. He's controlling. Dominion, what's the ancient picture of the Old Testament? They went and they evicted the enemy. You rule here now. We are tossing you out. We're defeating you. We rule. Joshua put his foot on the necks of the five kings. That's what dominion literally means. Put your foot on. We rule now. So someone who has been barren and gets a breakthrough in fruitfulness, in some way they have evicted the devil from their own life and ministry, or their own job, or their own city, or their own church, whatever it might be. It involves dominion. You have to fight the enemy off of your fruit. You have to fight him off of your converts. You'll get people saved, and that's all of a sudden ugly brother becomes super attractive to supermodels. His looks didn't change. That's a demon, right? Suddenly, converts who used to have to beg, borrow, steal to get drugs, people are offering them free drugs and alcohol. That never happened till they got saved. You got to fight them off. They start getting job offers in Nome, Alaska, right? Outer Ubangi, it's anywhere, but I got a pay raise, a promotion, but I got to work Sundays and Wednesdays. That's from hell. You have to fight those things off. You have to enforce the victory of Calvary. The sign is fruitfulness. Let's talk about the reference point. God says in this text that fruitfulness becomes a reference point. Numbers 17:10.
And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back for the testimony, to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put their complaints away from me, lest they die.
Okay, the rod blossoms and bears fruit. Notice this text says, keep it as a sign. Long after it bore fruit, you're going to keep it there in the presence of the Lord as a sign. It's something that you are going to use it again. You're going to refer to it again. Look at the benefits of personal fruitfulness. Number one, fruit produces confidence. If you go out and pastor, I promise you, you're going to have days where you're going to wonder, is Jesus alive? Because all hell will be breaking loose. Nothing will be working. And the devil especially fights fruitfulness. He attacks your faith. Can it work here? Maybe the people here are just a special spawn from hell and they can't be saved. I don't know. No one gets it wants to get saved. What fruit does, if you have past fruitfulness, it's a sign. No, I know what God did back when I was in the body. God doesn't change. He's the same God all over the world. So if he helped me in the past, he can help me here. That's why you want to bear fruit now, so that you have a sign. So they have a reference point. It gives you confidence. Number two, confidence is the first thing. Secondly, fruit produces reference points. Once you have fruit, and I'm assuming it's good fruit, you will always know what good fruit is. I travel, you know, sometimes at men's discipleship, or people will come, hey, pastor, I want you to meet my converts. I think I told the guys at breakfast when I was in Albuquerque, a good young pastor. I'm sure he's a nice guy, a good man. But he brought me a religious dude who told me he had been pastoring for 23 years. He had on like a, I don't know if it was a trench coat or a bathrobe or something, but handwritten all over it was like Bible words and Greek words. And so this pastor's like, hey, this guy goes to my church. I'm like, oh God, doom. This is not going to work. And what I know about that guy, clearly you have no reference point of what fruit really is. Because you're excited about Mr. Bathrobe. Weird writing on a bathrobe. Okay, you would never accept that if you had ever a reference point of a good convert. That is what fruitfulness does. If you had ever good converts, you know the difference. When I went out to pray, when I went out to pioneer, I wasn't praying, "Oh Lord, send revival." I was naming the names of people that Lisa and I had led to the Lord. God, give us converts like them. These are people who got saved. They lived for Jesus. They got involved. They left their sin. They fell in love with Jesus. They began to be fruitful, began to be involved. God, give us people like that, because I had reference points. That is the value of fruitfulness. And so you learn to fight for conversion. There's reference points that I still use today. I know what happened in the past when I had good converts, and all of a sudden they started getting free drugs and job offers, and supermodels were after them, and I know how to fight them off. No, I'm not. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to rebuke hell off of their life. God, they've got to make it. So that is a reference point for life. Thirdly, if you are ever fruitful now for the rest of your life, it will produce the people skills of fruitfulness. So there is an element. Fruit is a miracle, but you can't ignore the human side of it. And that is, it requires people skills. You have to have the ability to make people like you. Okay? You have to have the ability to have a conversation with someone who's not the easiest person to talk with. Yesterday at breakfast, Kayla was asking me, when at Ken Haywood's wedding, a family friend was there. She was what we call in Australia a stir. So she's deliberately, "Why did you vote for Donald Trump? How can you vote for a man who's so evil? And there's something really to be said. There's some biological facts of transgenderism." So this lady is trying to be difficult, but so I didn't bite on her stirring. But at the end of the day, I was able to have a good conversation with her. You have to have that ability. You gotta be able to have people say, "I'm comfortable." That's what a people skill is. Have you ever had someone, they don't have people skills? You ever had someone that you're talking to them and they're like, "Hi, how you doing?" And you're like, backing up. And as you're backing up, they're going, okay, if that's you, if you're the guy who's getting in their face and you're making everybody nervous, you can pray. The Holy Spirit will struggle to help you, because that's violating common sense, right? There is an element. If you don't have a supernatural dimension, you can be the slickest people skilled person in the world, because it takes a miracle. But there is an element. So if you've ever been fruitful, that means at some point you had the ability to engage them in conversation, make them comfortable enough, that to like you enough, "I want to come back. Yes, I do want to go out for coffee with you," because they formed a connection with you. If you ever had fruitfulness, you probably learned sensitivity. There's a time to speak and there's a time to shut up. Right? What do you think about my transgender cousin? And they just got saved 2 minutes ago. Telling them, "He's going to burn in hell. He's an abomination to God." That's not the time to tell them that. There's time. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That's what Jesus said you got to be. You know what that means? You know how a snake moves? He maneuvers. Snakes don't go in straight lines. So Jesus says there is a time. We tell the truth, but there's a time to tell the truth. If you've ever had fruitfulness, you will have learned that. You will have learned when to shut up. There's not time. The things to ignore. Right? There are things. I've had good converts in Bible study. They swore in Bible study. Now, I don't want my converts swearing in Bible study, but they just got saved. They're raw sinners. They don't know any better. That's not the time. "How dare you?" Be nice. Let them keep coming. Then there'll come a day when they're like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I said that to the pastor." Okay, that's great. That's a reference point. You learn how to not give people too much too soon. Okay? You got saved at the concert last night. Let's talk to you today about dying to the flesh. right? Surrendering everything to Jesus Christ. It's not time. You can't give people too much too soon. Fruitfulness, the point of this, it's going to affect the rest of your life and your ministry. That's why he says, keep the fruit as a sign. Final thought is the miracle. This is the final thought from our text, is that our text says fruitfulness is a miracle. Numbers 17:8.
The next morning, Moses went to the tent of testimony, and the rod of Aaron, the tribe of Levi, had burst into bloom. It sprouted buds, bloomed blossoms, and produced fully ripe almonds.
Okay, here is a miracle. Have you ever seen a stick chopped off the tree bear fruit? Probably not. You definitely never saw it bear fruit overnight. That is, the point is, God is saying it's a miracle. Yes, learn how to speak. Learn how people's skills. Learn sensitivity and timing. But at the end of the day, fruit is a miracle. There are so many factors that oppose fruitfulness. That can be in us, things we lack. Right now you don't have people's skills. Right now you don't have a supernatural dimension. There can be demonic resistance. The devil hates fruit. He fights fruit. In the Old Testament, so many battles were fought over wells and fruit trees and farming land. The devil attacks the ability to bear fruit. But all through the Bible, you find stories of God helping people to be fruitful. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90 years old when they finally had a baby. They were barren. He's barren till he's 100. She's 90 years old, man. And she has a baby. Only God can do that. And he is the father of the faith, because what happened to Abraham is meant to happen to us. Hopefully you're not going to have babies at 100. But fruitfulness, that's the lesson you can learn. Is God wants to do a miracle for you to give you fruitfulness. And that is why God says, look for the sign. And the sign is fruitfulness. Okay, let's open for some questions. Something here you want to ask. Caleb.
You mentioned fighting off things coming against your converts, people coming against your converts.
Yep.
Is that fighting off just... spiritually, fasting, praying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly. 99% of the time, it's simply fasting and praying or in prayer. It's spiritually. You attack spiritually. You know, I mean, there could be that there's someone that is harming, but if they're outside the church, not a lot you can do about that. You gotta, you know, things have to change in order to be fruitful. You know, my sister has gotten powerfully saved. Now she wants her kids to be saved. One of them is in an area where her cousin is a rebel and badmouths our church and all that. And so my sister has been praying that God, she has a bad influence on her. And so you need to change. You need to somehow separate them. And she called and says that in a few months they're moving to Alabama, away from there. So that's good. Yeah, that would be, now that's a little bit different. Obviously, she's not saved, but that is what has to happen in one way or another. God has to do a miracle. And I've seen it. I've seen guys be offered professional sports contracts, and someone prayed and they said, why would you turn down your lifelong dream? Right? Why I'm offered a job. No, I'm going to stay here. You need a miracle. That's at the end of the day. You got to do it in prayer is the main thing. Yeah.
When you have converts that you're working with and you see things that could take them away, like say a job or something like that, what are some strategies, or are there things that you would say to them to try to encourage them?
One, it depends on if you have a relationship. Number two, it depends on if they're asking primarily. Thirdly, you know, if it's going to be for their soul, you can speak up, but God has to open their eyes and God has to open their heart. That at the end of the day, there's no other option. If God doesn't do it, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, my Father in heaven. So just like I said, when people do things that on paper actually are against their best interest, like taking a great job in another city, only God can do that, right? Yeah. So that's the principle. You have to have God do a miracle. So number one, if you don't have relationship, leave them alone. right? There's somebody coming. I never spoke to them before. Hey, you shouldn't work there. It's none of your stinking business. Okay, that's rule number one. Number two is, are they asking? You don't just simply say, listen, let me tell you some things that got to change in your life. And then number three is, there is a danger. Man, I'm offered this job and it's a Sunday and Wednesday only job. You know, is that in your best interest? Are you trying to put your life together? So you need strength, something that's going to take you away from, maybe that's not in your best interest. Have you asked God about that? Have you gotten advice from a pastor? He can help you. Those are things that you can say, but at the end of the day, you know, people can do what they want to do, so that's why we need a miracle. Somebody else.
Along those same lines, pressure, like conference that you're working with, and then all of a sudden they want to join the military.
Sure. That's again, same deal. Do you have relationship? Number one, are they asking? And then thirdly, you know, is that in your best interest? How's that going to help you? And it depends on why. You know, conversation I have about the military is, there are anybody who is joining the military to run will never do well. And that's Dave Suspansky is a military church. He says anybody who joins the military, and the reason why was they were running from authority, trouble, you know, whatever, those people never make it in the military. So you can ask questions, and some of those, have you asked God, et cetera, but back to the same thing, then you got to pray. You got to pray that God does a miracle in them, because God's will is fruit that remains. And so the devil does put ideas in people's minds once they get saved to try to remove them, right? So you gotta pray for a miracle. Somebody else. Micah?
How do you focus on what kind of supernatural dimension you should be like intending for, kind of calling, you know?
Well, ultimately you need everything, but if I had to choose, I would choose fruitfulness. But fortunately, it's not a choice. It's not a, I only want this one, or I think that you should, a natural in witnessing, you can practice praying for the sick while trying to be fruitful, because it's natural. You meet, you're going to run into people who are sick, injured, or diseased. So you can practice both at the same time. Yeah, but you need everything. So you should want something supernatural in your life. Any gifts of the Spirit, any breakthrough, if you have always struggled financially, it would be a miracle for you to break through, whether that's to get out of debt or to get a job that is sufficient or with favorable hours, anything that is a breakthrough, because fruitfulness is a breakthrough. Something changed. So you need it all. But if I had to choose, Micah, right? The only thing I have going for me is word of knowledge, but where's your fruit? At the end of the day, that's really what you want. So, you know, I do take chances on guys and send them out when they don't have evidence of fruitfulness. I'd rather not. I'd rather have evidence of fruitfulness. The reason why I'm willing to take a chance is that principle, it's transferable. If God helped you in money, if God helped you in healing, if God helped you in word of knowledge, he can help you in fruitfulness. The guys that, it's a hard no, is there any evidence of supernatural work in your life at all? No. I would only send you out if I hated you, because it'll be painful for you. Me and Mr. T can predict. What's it going to be like? Pain. That's what it's going to be like. Some of you have no idea what that is. That's a very old Rocky movie. Okay. Somebody else. Cole.
When you're witnessing or evangelizing, and like you want to get, and you just pray with someone, you're trying to get someone's contact information.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, I notice when I bring up, oh, this is like for a church, so we invite you to events, that immediately turns them off. Like, what would you suggest would be a good way of getting someone's contact information without like freaking them out? Or because a lot of people, you know, like, I don't want to say skittish, but like they kind of scared, they have trust issues.
Yeah, you know, you need a, you need a miracle dimension. I would, that's where the relationship is a key. So, hey, I'd like to get together for coffee, maybe take you out for a burger, you know? Give me your number and I'll set something up. You know, that's a common sense factor. When I first was pioneering, we basically every person I met, I invited over for dinner, you know. Just our town didn't really have any options, and coffee, I had no money anyway, but so we invited over for dinner. So that would be a natural. Hard to invite them if you can't contact them. So it's kind of sanctified self-interest. But at the end of the day, people who get powerfully saved, it changes all the factors. Real conversion, something changes where they are open as opposed to closed. So that's what you need. Tony?
How do you navigate when you've made connection with converts and they struggle to come to church events?
Well, that at the end of the day is, you know, that may be at first, but birth produces hunger. So if someone never wants to come to church, they didn't really get saved at the end of the day. Now, there may be some demonic things that keep happening. You get people, every time I start to come to church, I get sick, the car breaks down. That's from hell. But you get people who they're just shucking and jiving, never wanting to come. You can't keep contacting those people forever because there's no hunger. Babies that are born want to eat. Converts that are born. 1 Peter 2, that you desire the sincere milk of the word. So they don't have to be perfect, but if they have no desire in coming at all, then apparently something was lacking in the prayer. They didn't truly surrender. And that's what you got to come to. And that's then why you want to be fruitful now, because you work these things out. You learn that. There are people I just feel I should contact them again, and there are other people I feel it's a dead loss. Move along. I'm wasting my time. Find somebody else that is. You know. So you normally that's a process. If they're not responding, then principle one is you step down the level of contact that you have with them. Right? Now, every few weeks, send them a text, invite them again. You know. So it may be that they're working through some things. But no hunger means no conversion. Somebody else. Something else you want to know.
Pastor?
Yep.
So, spending a lot of time with people from other churches, you know, they're just, it's not the same, right?
Sure. So what are you saying?
Are you asking? Are you wasting your time spending a lot of time from people that are just checking it out, that come, that they have a religious background?
Yeah.
Salvation background?
Absolutely. And so we don't build our church on church people. So, you know, no doubt there'll be people this morning that will come and they're church shopping. They just moved from California. They're church shopping. They are born again. You know, and my opinion is take it or leave it. You know, they come and they fall in love with what we are. Great. But I'm not slobbering over people that I know are already born again and they have a Joyce Meyer tattoo and, you know, Benny Hinn is their hero. They're not going to hang with us. So I'm not sweating it. Sinners. Focus on sinners. There are a whole bunch of them in the world. Even in our fair community. Anybody else? Something else you want to know? Good. All right. We leave it at that.